A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey, Herman and Corin. I've mentioned my home inventory system on a number of episodes. It's a really useful thing. And as we discussed in the episode about how the pros, the roadies and the militaries actually manage moving, it makes me feel a bit less crazy for going to the trouble of setting this up because it's pretty much that. It's taking inventory of what you have. Things get an ID, they get a storage place. And it's gradually getting me in the habit of being very diligent about how much things I own, getting rid of what I can. It's actually useful for spotting duplicates and things of that nature. And there's something kind of mindful about it, actually, because when I add something of value that I purchase for my business or for our home, you know, you create a new listing for it. I take a few photographs, and then it's the utilities, basically. It's a space to gather all the information, like the purchasing receipt, which can be useful for home insurance if it's a business expense for depreciation tracking. The user manual, I'll try to get that online, or, you know, just scan it with my phone if I can't find it. And finally, I like to add in the specs, because that's frequently, if we're talking about, let's say, things like SBCs, those, you know, small computers, or things that are part of hardware projects, you generally don't really need to see a user manual just to know what you're working with. A technical spec sheet is what's most helpful. So for things of a certain value, the last thing that I will do in my process is I'll look for the specifications. And generally, the key to doing this is finding the SKU or the part number, or sometimes the model number, that identifies the specific thing, exactly the component that you're looking at. And this, for technical things, what I've discovered is that if you're looking for a specific type of RAM that's going to be compatible with a certain piece of hardware like a Synology, the same company, Kingston, let's say, that makes RAM, might make hundreds of varieties of RAM. But if you can identify the exact part number or PN that you need or that you have, it really makes it a lot easier, because you can just put that in, get the spec sheet, and you know exactly what you have. So it skips all the kind of marketing literature and fluff that you'll see on these kind of product marketing websites. And it's a really useful thing to have. That's probably the thing I find myself referring to most often in the system, besides putting stuff back where it belongs, is looking up a asset and seeing, oh, let me just check the spec sheet to see what type of RAM this is, etc. My question, Herman and Corin, is that I've noticed in Israel, where we live, It's a unique sales market. It's 10 million people. It's a small sales geography. But we have, you know, the main brands here represented for stuff like consumer electronics. But what I've often noticed is that they have a unique part number that is specific to Israel. I assume there's some reasons for it, supply chain reasons, but often a product goes under a different SKU or PN in Israel than it does elsewhere. My question is, the hunting and fishing process, by which I look up a model number and trace back to the manufacturer website, find the white paper or find the tech spec document, is something I would be delighted to automate, because I'm tracking the, you know, the product name and the manufacturer. And if there is even a API integration for finding these, and that's really what I'm asking. If you're in the business of managing a tech inventory, and you've got a few hundred or even thousand items in inventory, and you want some efficient process for querying product specifications by manufacturer, by name, that actually presents something like a database of these gathered, does any such thing exist, whether as a thing that consumers can access online or a subscription service? Over to you.
Daniel sent us this one. He's got a home inventory system, the kind of thing roadies and military logistics people use, and he's been diligently cataloging everything with photos, receipts, user manuals, and spec sheets. The real question is about the spec sheet part. When you're managing hundreds or even thousands of tech items, and you want to pull up the technical specifications for a specific piece of hardware by manufacturer and part number, is there an API for that? A database? A subscription service? Something that actually queries product specifications rather than just returning marketing pages? And as a sub-question, he's noticed that products sold in Israel often carry unique local SKUs that don't match the global part numbers, which makes the hunting process more complicated.
This is a genuinely interesting question because it sits right at the intersection of two things I've spent way too much time thinking about: electronics supply chain data and the weird island economics of the Israeli consumer market. And I want to get to the Israel SKU question because that's a whole thing by itself. But let me start with the core ask. Is there an API for looking up technical specifications by part number? The answer is yes, and in fact, there's a whole ecosystem of them, but they weren't built for consumers. They were built for engineers doing component sourcing.
Which makes sense. The person who needs to know the exact pinout of a voltage regulator isn't browsing Amazon reviews.
And that's the key distinction. There are two parallel worlds here. World one is consumer electronics, your laptop, your router, your Synology, and ASA. World 2 is electronic components, the RAM sticks, the SBCs, the individual parts. For World 2, the component world, there are several very mature APIs. The big one is Octopart. Octopart aggregates inventory and datasheets from hundreds of distributors. DigiKey, Mouser, Farnell, Arrow, and their API lets you search by manufacturer part number and get back datasheets, technical specs, availability, and pricing. It's been around since 2007, and it was acquired by Altium in 2015.
If I've got a Kingston RAM stick and I punch in the exact part number, Octopart will give me the spec sheet.
It'll give you the data sheet, the parametric data, which means the structured technical attributes like speed grade, CAS latency, form factor, voltage, and it'll show you which distributors have it in stock. And there's a free tier of the API, though it's rate limited. The paid tiers get into serious money because this is a professional tool for procurement engineers.
For the consumer electronics side, the World 1 stuff.
That's messier. There's no single unified API for consumer product specifications the way there is for components. But there are several things that come close. The first one I'd point to is a service called SnapEDA. They started out focused on CID models and PCB footprints for components, but they've expanded into what they call the Electronics Parts Database. You can search by manufacturer part number and get back datasheets, symbols, and 3D models. They have an API. It's also free for limited use, paid for commercial.
That's two for components. What about the Synology NAS, the completed consumer product?
That's where you start getting into more creative territory. There's a company called IceCat that maintains a massive open catalog of product specifications. Over 21,000 brands, millions of products. They have what they call a digital asset management platform, where manufacturers upload their spec sheets and IceCat normalizes the data. They have an API. It's used by e-commerce sites to populate product pages with technical specs. The catch is that it's primarily a B2B service. Pricing isn't public, you have to contact them. But they do have a free open catalog with limited access.
It exists. But it's behind a corporate gate.
And that's actually a pattern here. All the good product specification databases are built for businesses, not individuals. Which is frustrating, but also understandable. Maintaining a database of millions of SKUs with accurate technical specs is expensive. The data goes stale. Manufacturers change specs without notice, and someone has to do the normalization work.
Of course there are. The normalization work.
Here's where it gets interesting for the specific use case of a home inventory. There's another approach entirely, which is to use the manufacturer's own APIs. A surprising number of consumer electronics companies have public or semi-public APIs for product data. Not all of them, but enough that you can piece together coverage, and there are aggregators that do this work for you.
Give me an example.
Take Synology, since that was mentioned. Synology has a publicly accessible product API. If you go to their website and browse products, the data is being served from an API endpoint. It's not officially documented as a public API, but it's there, and people have reverse engineered it. Same with a lot of networking equipment manufacturers. Ubiquiti has one. TP-Link sort of has one, though it's inconsistent. The trick is that each manufacturer's API is different, so you'd need to build connectors for each one.
Which sounds like a maintenance nightmare.
It is absolutely a maintenance nightmare. Which is why services like IceCat exist. They do the maintenance nightmare so you don't have to. But for an individual managing a home inventory, the cost-benefit of a commercial API subscription probably doesn't pencil out unless you're running a business where this data is mission-critical.
The market has built the thing, but it's priced for enterprises, not for the diligent homeowner with a Synology and some SBCs.
That's the short version. But I want to complicate this picture a bit, because there's a middle ground that's actually quite practical. Have you heard of a project called PartDB?
I have not.
PartDB is an open-source inventory management system for electronic components. It was originally built for makerspaces and hobbyist electronics labs. You install it on a server. It runs on PHP and MySQL, and you can add parts with manufacturer part numbers, datasheet links, storage locations, quantities, all of it. And here's the relevant bit. It has a built-in integration with an API provider called TME, which is a major European electronics distributor. When you add a part by manufacturer number, it can auto-fetch the datasheet and technical parameters.
It's doing the query automatically.
And it's open source. You run it yourself. The TME API integration is built in. Now, TME is a distributor, so they're incentivized to provide this data. They want you to buy from them. But the data itself is solid. Manufacturer part number goes in, datasheet and specs come back, and because it's open source, someone could theoretically add integrations for Octopart or DigiKey or Mouser.
For the SBCs, the RAM sticks, the components, there's actually a fairly complete answer. Self-host PartDB, pointed at one of these distributor APIs, and your spec sheet problem is largely solved.
For components, yes. For finished consumer products, it's partial. You'll get some coverage from the distributor APIs because many consumer products are sold through distribution channels, but it's spottier. The Synology IS might show up in a distributor database because Synology sells through distribution. The random smart home gadget from a brand that only does direct-to-consumer sales won't.
Which brings us to the Israel SCUP problem.
And this is where it gets weird. So the phenomenon of regional SKUs isn't unique to Israel. You see it in many small markets. But Israel has some specific characteristics that make it more pronounced. First, 10 million people is a small market, but it's a wealthy small market with high technology adoption. So brands want to be here, but the volumes don't justify a fully localized supply chain.
They route products through a handful of regional distributors who create their own part numbers.
What typically happens is that a company like BSP or EIM or Semicom, these are the big Israeli electronics distributors, will import a product and assign it a local catalog number. Sometimes this is just their internal SKU. Sometimes it's a rebadged version of the global part number with a regional suffix. And sometimes it's a completely different number because the product itself is slightly different. Power plugs for one. Israel uses the Type H plug, which is unique, so any product with an integrated power supply needs a local variant, but it goes deeper. Products sold in Israel need to comply with Israeli standard certification, which is handled by the Standards Institution of Israel. That certification process can require hardware modifications, different power supplies, different radio configurations for wireless devices, sometimes different firmware to comply with local regulations on frequency bands.
It's literally a different product, even if it looks the same on the outside.
It's a different SKU because it is, in many cases, a different configuration. And the manufacturer will often not document the Israeli variant on their global website. I've run into this personally. You buy a router from an Israeli retailer, you look up the model number on the manufacturer's site, and it doesn't exist. Because the manufacturer treats it as a regional variant that's only documented in their distributor portal.
Which is exactly the hunting problem. You've got a part number that doesn't resolve to anything on the global web.
This is where the API question gets harder. The global aggregators, Octopart, SnapEDA, IceCat, they don't always have good coverage of regional variants. Their data comes from manufacturers and global distributors. The Israeli distributor's local SKU might not be in their database at all.
What do you do?
There are a few approaches. The most reliable one I've found is to work backward from the product's regulatory labels. Every electronic device sold in Israel has a standard certification mark, usually a sticker or imprint with the Israeli standards number. That number traces back to the certification filing, which often includes the global model number. It's not automated, but it's a reliable cross-reference.
The paper trail of bureaucracy as API.
The original API. But there's a more practical answer for someone building an inventory system. Several Israeli distributors actually do have public-facing product databases with spec sheets. BSP's website, for instance, has detailed product pages for everything they distribute, including data sheets. EIM has a searchable catalog. The problem is that they don't have public APIs. It's all web scraping territory.
Which is fragile and annoying.
Fragile and annoying, yes. But it's also a very scriptable problem if you're only doing it for a few hundred items. You write a scraper once, you point it at the distributor's product page, you extract the spec sheet link. It's not elegant, but it works.
For someone who's already running a home inventory system with part numbers and manufacturer names, adding a lookup script that hits a few known distributor sites isn't a huge leap.
It's not, and I think that's actually the realistic answer here. The beautiful unified API that queries all product specifications everywhere doesn't exist for consumers. But the piecemeal approach, PartDB for components, a handful of distributor API keys for the stuff they cover, and a small collection of manufacturer-specific scrapers for everything else, that gets you maybe 80-90% coverage.
Which is better than manually hunting down every spec sheet.
And there's one more piece of this I want to mention, which is the GS1 database. GS1 is the organization that issues barcode numbers, the UPC and EAN codes on every product. They maintain a global product registry called the GS1 Registry Platform. It's not a spec sheet database, but it does map barcodes to product identifiers and manufacturer information. If you scan a barcode, you can query the GS1 registry to get the official product name and the manufacturer's GLN, Global Location Number. From there, you can often trace to the manufacturer's product page.
The barcode becomes the universal key.
In practice, the GS1 registry is not fully public. There's a public lookup tool, but the API access is restricted to GS1 members, and membership is not cheap. But there are third-party services that have licensed the GS1 data and offer lookup APIs, though again, they're B2B products.
The pattern persists. The data exists, the APIs exist, but the pricing model assumes you're a corporation.
Which is a frustrating thing about the modern information economy. The technical capability is there. The data has been aggregated and normalized. But the business model says this is worth thousands of dollars a year, so individuals get locked out.
Though I suppose from the provider's perspective, maintaining a database of millions of SKUs with accurate technical specifications is expensive. Someone has to call the manufacturers when the data is wrong.
I'm not saying the pricing is unjustified. I'm saying there's a gap in the market for a consumer-tier product, something between manually Google every part number and pay $5,000 a year for IceCat Enterprise Access.
The middle tier that doesn't exist.
It sort of exists in the open source world, which is why I keep coming back to PartDB. The open source community has built the thing, they just haven't connected all the data sources yet. If someone contributed an Octopart integration, an IceCat Open Catalog integration, and maybe a scraper for a few major Israeli distributors, you'd have a comprehensive system.
Daniel is an open source developer.
And I'm not saying he should build this. Building and maintaining API integrations is a lot of work. But I am saying the pieces are all there. The APIs exist. The open source inventory management tools exist. The gap is the integration layer. And that's a solvable problem.
Let me pull on the Israel thread a bit more. You mentioned the Standards Institution certification. Is there a public database of those certifications?
There is, actually. The Standards Institution of Israel maintains a searchable database of certified products. It's not the most user-friendly thing in the world, it's a government database, so adjust expectations accordingly. But you can search by product category, manufacturer, or standards number. And the certification records often include the global model number that the Israeli variant corresponds to.
In principle, you could take an Israeli SKU, find the standard certification number on the product label, query the SII database, and extract the global model number that the manufacturer actually documents.
In principle, yes. In practice, the SII database is not designed for automated querying. It's a web form. You'd need to scrape it. But for a one-time inventory project, cataloging a few hundred items, that's entirely feasible.
The hunting process becomes scan the label, extract the standards number, query the SII site, get the global model number, then feed that into Octopart or the manufacturer's IPI.
That's the pipeline. And once you've done it once per item, you have the mapping forever. Your inventory system stores both the Israeli SKU and the global part number, and all future lookups use the global number.
Which is basically what a human does manually, just scripted.
And that's the thing about inventory management. The setup cost is high, but the ongoing maintenance cost drops dramatically once you've done the initial mapping.
To answer the direct question, is there an API for querying product specifications by manufacturer and part number? Yes, for electronic components, through Octopart and Snappy Day and distributor APIs. For consumer products, partially, through IceCat and manufacturer APIs and GS1. For Israeli-specific SKUs, not directly, but there's a cross-referencing path through the Standards Institution database. And the realistic integration approach is a self-hosted system like PartDB, with a collection of API connectors and scrapers.
That's a good summary. And I want to add one practical note about the API economics. Octopart's free tier gives you 100 API calls per month. SnapEat's free tier is similar. For a home inventory of a few hundred items, you don't need real-time queries. You query once when you add the item, cache the result, and you're done. So the free tiers are actually sufficient for this use case.
Which means the whole thing could run on free API tiers plus a few custom scrapers.
And I think there's a broader point here about the state of product data on the internet. We've gotten very good at product marketing pages. The glossy photos, the feature bullets, the comparison tables against competitors. But structured technical specifications are still surprisingly hard to find in a machine-readable format. The SEO-optimized review sites and the Amazon listings don't solve this. The real data lives in distributor catalogs and manufacturer datasheets, and those are built for a different audience.
The spec sheet is the antidote to the marketing page.
It really is. A data sheet tells you what the thing actually is. The marketing page tells you what the company wants you to think it is. And for someone managing a technical inventory, the data sheet is the only thing that matters.
Because when you're trying to figure out if this RAM stick is compatible with that NAS, the marketing copy about blazing fast performance does nothing for you. You need the CAS latency and the voltage and the form factor.
Those numbers are only in the data sheet. The marketing page might mention DDR4, but it won't tell you whether it's single rank or dual rank or what the JEDEC timings are. And those are the things that actually determine compatibility.
Which is why the inventory system Daniel described, with its emphasis on spec sheets over user manuals, is actually the right approach for technical hardware. The user manual tells you how to use the thing. The spec sheet tells you what the thing is.
What the thing is the fundamental question of inventory management. Everything else, where it's stored, when you bought it, how much it cost, is metadata around that core identity.
Let me ask you something. You mentioned that the Israeli market gets unique SKUs, partly because of the Type H plug and the standard certification. But is there also a pricing component? I'm thinking of the episodes we did on Israeli tech pricing, the 500% markup problem.
There absolutely is. The regional SKU is often used as a price segmentation tool. If a product has a unique part number that only exists in Israel, you can't easily comparison shop against European or American prices. The distributor can set whatever price the local market will bear, and the consumer can't point to a lower price on a global site because the global site doesn't carry that SKU.
The unique part number is partially a moat.
It's a moat, not entirely. There are legitimate regulatory and logistical reasons for regional variance, but the SQ differentiation also serves a market segmentation function, whether intentionally or not. And Israel is particularly vulnerable to this because of the small market size and the regulatory requirements that create a natural barrier.
Which means the inventory system with cross-reference global part numbers also becomes a price-checking tool. Once you know the global model number, you can see what it sells for elsewhere.
That's a side benefit I hadn't even thought of, but you're right. If your inventory system maps the Israeli SKU to the global part number, and the global part number is in Octopart with pricing from international distributors, you suddenly have price transparency.
The inventory system as consumer empowerment.
Unintended consequences of good data hygiene.
We've covered the API landscape, the Israel SKU problem, the cross-referencing approach, and the open source tools. What about the mindful aspect? Daniel mentioned that the process of cataloging items feels mindful. Taking photos, gathering receipts, finding spec sheets.
I think there's something real there. There's a concept in cognitive psychology called the endowment effect. We value things more once we've invested effort in them. But there's also a counter effect. When you systematically catalog everything you own, you start to see the duplicates, the unused items, the things that seemed important when you bought them, but have sat in a drawer for 3 years.
The inventory is confrontation with your own purchasing decisions.
And that's uncomfortable, but it's also useful. Most people have no idea how many things they own. They have a vague sense, but no concrete list. Creating the list forces a reckoning.
Like adopting a feral cat. You think it's going to be cute, and then it scratches your furniture.
I'm not sure that analogy holds, but I take your point. The inventory is not always flattering.
The spec sheet part, specifically. There's something satisfying about reducing the product to its essential technical attributes. The marketing narrative falls away, and you're left with the actual thing.
It's a kind of technical minimalism. You're not interested in the story the brand is telling. You're interested in the voltage and the dimensions and the protocol support. Those are the facts. Everything else is narrative.
Narrative is heavy. Facts are light. You can store 1,000 spec sheets in less space than one marketing brochure.
That's literally true if the marketing brochure has high-resolution photos, and the spec sheet is a PDF of text and tables. But I think you mean it metaphorically.
I meant it both ways.
So where does this leave us? The core question was whether an API exists for looking up product specifications by manufacturer and name. The answer is yes, with caveats. For electronic components, the infrastructure is mature and accessible. For consumer products, it exists, but is fragmented and mostly B2B. For Israeli-specific SKUs, you need a cross-referencing step. And the practical implementation path is a self-hosted inventory system with API connectors plus some custom scrapers for the gaps.
The broader insight is that the data exists. It's just not packaged for consumers. The electronics industry has spent decades building component databases for engineers, and that infrastructure is surprisingly accessible if you know where to look. The consumer electronics industry hasn't done the same thing, but the data leaks out through distributor catalogs, regulatory databases, and manufacturer APIs.
The data leaks out. That's a good way to put it. The information is all there. It's just distributed across a dozen different systems that weren't designed to work together. And the job of the inventory manager, whether that's a person or a script, is to collect the leaks into a single, coherent record.
Which sounds like exactly the kind of automation project that a technically inclined person with a home inventory system would find satisfying to build.
And I'll say one more thing about the Israel angle specifically. There's actually a community of Israeli makers and hardware hobbyists who have been dealing with this exact problem for years. The Israeli DIY electronics forums, places like EFEM and the various Telegram groups, have accumulated a lot of tribal knowledge about cross-referencing Israeli SKUs to global part numbers. It's not a database, but it's a resource. If you're trying to identify an obscure Israeli market variant of something, someone in those communities has probably already done the detective work.
The human API.
The original distributed computing network.
I think we've covered the ground here. The APIs exist. The Israeli market is weird for reasons that are partly regulatory, partly logistical, and partly commercial. The cross-referencing path goes through the standards institution database. And the open source inventory tools are actually quite capable if you're willing to do some integration work.
The free tiers of the component APIs are sufficient for personal use, which is a pleasant surprise. Usually, when I look into these things, the answer is, this costs more than the hardware you're cataloging.
The economics of data aggregation are weird. The marginal cost of an API call is essentially zero, but the fixed cost of building and maintaining the database is enormous. So the pricing models have to recoup the fixed cost, which pushes everything toward enterprise pricing. But the free tiers exist because the distributors want to be in your procurement pipeline. They're loss leaders for component sales.
Which is actually a clever business model when you think about it. Give away the spec sheet database for free, and when the engineer finds the part they need, they're already on your site with an add to cart button.
The spec sheet as the top of the sales funnel.
And it works because engineers need the spec sheets. They're not going to buy a component without reading the datasheet first, so the distributor that provides the easiest access to the datasheet has an advantage.
Which is why Octopart's whole business is aggregating those distributor catalogs into a single search interface. They're the meta layer on top of the distributor layer.
They were acquired by Altium, which makes PCB design software, so the integration goes even deeper. You're designing a circuit board in Altium Designer. You search for a part in Octopart directly from the design tool. You drop it into your schematic, and the footprint and 3D model come along with it. The spec sheet is part of the design workflow.
That's the dream, isn't it? The spec sheet appears exactly when and where you need it, without a separate hunting process.
That's the enterprise version of what Daniel is trying to do for his home inventory. Same principle, different scale.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
For decades, marine biologists believed that octopuses change color by consciously flexing individual chromatophores, like tiny mussels, a theory that dominated cephalopod research until the 1970s. When researchers in the Azores discovered that the process is actually controlled by a distributed nerve net that operates largely without central brain input, meaning the octopus's skin is effectively making camouflage decisions on its own.
The octopus delegates camouflage to its skin. The skin is the decision maker.
That's unsettling. The octopus doesn't decide to change color. Its skin decides, and the octopus finds out later. Yeah, thanks for that. I'll be thinking about autonomous octopus skin all day.
To wrap this up, the question was whether there's a streamlined way to query product specifications by manufacturer and part number, specifically for someone managing a tech inventory in Israel, where local SKUs complicate the search. The answer is a qualified yes. The APIs are real. The open source tools are capable. The cross-referencing path exists. The missing piece is the integration layer, and that's buildable.
I think the broader takeaway is that the world of product data is more structured than it appears from the consumer side. We're used to searching Google and wading through marketing pages, but there's a parallel universe of structured databases. Distributor catalogs, standards registries, manufacturer APIs that contain the actual technical information. The trick is knowing they exist and how to query them.
Spec sheet is out there. You just have to know which door to knock on.
Sometimes the door is a web form on an Israeli government database from 2003.
The most secure API is the one nobody wants to use.
That's our show, really. Finding the doors nobody wants to knock on.
Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop for the fact about autonomous octopus skin, which I will now be researching further instead of sleeping. This has been My Weird Prompts. You can find us at myweirdprompts.com and on Spotify. We're back next week.
See you then.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep, the stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close, from sloth, from man, from long ear. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.